With us on the telephone is Congressman Ron Kind from Wisconsin's 3rd District, and you are back in Wisconsin after the last couple of weeks of what you might call frustration, right, Congressman?
Well, it's good to be home. Obviously, there are no victory laps today around the United States Congress, and clearly this was not democracy's finest hour. We have to stop committing self-inflicted wounds on the U.S. and global economy, and instead, as an institution, partner with the private sector. Get this economy growing, creating good-paying jobs. A growing economy can solve a lot of problems, but the dysfunction coming out of Washington these days is a hindrance to that rather than helping it.
We hear that both the Republicans and the Democrats see dysfunction in Washington, but it seems more of them see the dysfunction in the other side of the aisle. How do we solve that?
Well, we solve it by the approach that, you know, Charlie Dent, good friend of mine, Republican member from Pennsylvania, and I were doing over the last few weeks. That's getting Republicans and Democrats sitting down in the same room talking to each other and listening and trying to find a path forward. And we found when we do that, there is a lot of common ground that we can agree upon. But right now, I mean, the water is so poisoned with the political leadership at the top that there's very little communication, let alone any trust. And therefore, you get what you see coming out of Washington these last couple of weeks.
You have political leadership that hasn't changed much, and their viewpoints haven't changed much. So do you expect any progress now with this new bipartisan budget committee that, you know, may have the same roadblocks as the super committee of a year ago?
Yeah, but you know, we're back to regular order. This is how the process is supposed to work. Both sides, passing budgets, get together, hammer out the differences, and see if there's area of cooperation. And that is a lot better than shutting down the government, holding things hostage with your list of demands, and possibly defaulting on our financial responsibilities for the first time in our nation's history, and becoming a deadbeat nation. If that had been allowed to occur, it would have wreaked economic catastrophe on us and the global economy. And we would be recovering from it for a very long time. So I'm glad we were finally able to reach agreement last night, get the government open, pay our bills, go to conference and negotiate a long-term deficit reduction agreement, and get back to some regular order again and maybe provide a little more stability and a little more certainty for businesses and families so we can get this economy fully functioning.
The select committee, both Democrats and Republicans from both houses of Congress, Wisconsin is pretty well represented with 3 members on there. Are you satisfied with the 3 we have on there?
Well, listen, no one should fool themselves. This is going to be easy. You know, we've been around this block numerous times over the last few years trying to reach some type of bipartisan agreement. And quite frankly, what's make it even more difficult is this civil war that is raging in the National Republican Party right now between the Tea Party faction and more pragmatic members who I feel want to get things done rather than holding everything else hostage. So that fight has got to resolve itself. The party's got to know what direction it wants to go in. Otherwise, you can negotiate all day with certain people, but if the Republican majority in the House can't deliver the votes, it's not going to go anywhere. And that was very apparent Tuesday this week. You know, the day before the day we were going to start defaulting, the Republican majority couldn't even bring a bill up that their own party could support. It completely broke down. So something needs to happen, you know, with that party in order to resolve the internal struggle that's occurring.
Up next, that committee will have to get together, start working on that budget process. Any predictions as to what they may or may not include in that budget?
Well, if you're serious about fiscal responsibility and getting our long-term deficits under control, there are 2 large categories of spending you've got to take on: rising health care costs and portions of the defense budget. We've got to change the payment system in the healthcare system so it's based on the value and outcome of care that's given and not the volume of services. These volume-based payments are bankrupting us and businesses and families alike. And secondly, we've got weapons programs that the Pentagon doesn't even want and request anymore. So we've got to figure out a way of eliminating them and saving money that we can use for deficit reduction.
Coming up in the next few months, we know the president is going to want to push for immigration reform and maybe even put a new push on getting a farm bill. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, we've got a lot of unfinished business this year. Now, hopefully with the government opening, no chance of defaulting on our bills. We'll have a chance to come back and address some of these pressing issues. We've got a farm bill that's still stuck, and our farmers need to know what to expect and plan for the next 5 years. So hopefully we'll be able to advance that. We've got an immigration system that's broken, and it needs fixed. We have a tax code that's a monstrosity today, riddled full of loopholes and special provisions and breaks that the typical small business can't take advantage of. You know, it's hard for me, Larry, to explain to small business owners in Wisconsin why they're paying a higher effective tax rate than most multinationals are. And yet that's the tax code that we have today, and we've got to simplify it and make it more fair for our country.
I've had someone ask me about tax code, and maybe this is an oversimplification, but what happens if you throw out the entire tax code and put in one simple baseline tax code for everybody? Is it even possible?
Well, I would like to see some progressivity built in. You know, those who can't afford as much shouldn't be asked to pay the same amount, same proportional amount as Warren Buffett, for instance. So maintaining some progressivity, to me, makes sense. But I think there's a lot we can do to simplify it, you know, broaden the base of where revenue comes from, help our businesses, large and small, be more competitive globally, but also make it fair. I mean, it's not right that you've got, again, Fortune 500 companies that are paying no tax at all during the year because of all the special tax breaks and loopholes that they can take advantage of.
What do you think is next for you and with Congress?
Well, I think, you know, there's going to be focus on this farm bill. I'm still trying to improve it. We've got to get away from these huge taxpayer subsidies going to a few but very large agribusiness. It's not helpful to our family farmers back home. It's not fiscally responsible. I'm on the committee that has jurisdiction over tax reform. Obviously, I want to be heavily involved with that to make sure that our families and businesses here in Wisconsin get a fair shake at the end of the day. And then we've got to continue discussions on a long-term deficit reduction agreement to get our fiscal house in order. And again, we've got to come back to rising health care costs and what steps we can take together to reduce the cost of health care for all Americans and get better quality of care at the same time. I think we can do that with certain reforms and how it's delivered, but especially on how we pay for it. That has got to change.
Implementation of Affordable Care Act has been full of glitches, especially in the computer program for where people sign up. Any word on what's happening there to improve that?
Yeah, it's got to improve, and they've got to go back and take care of those technical glitches in that. But it's getting easier. Some of those things are being fixed. I find it not too surprising that those states that decided to move on their own to create their own exchange and their own database are doing a much better job. I think the Department of Health and Human Services was at a disadvantage having to wait so long for states to declare whether they're going to create their own exchange or leave it up to HHS to do it, and that put them behind the ball. But this also is not completely unexpected. Most of the major programs that we've had in the past, from Medicare to Social Security, it took a while to work out these glitches. Shoot, I remember when the Part D prescription drug plan took effect and seniors literally coming in crying because they were so confused about the choices that they had to make. But you keep working with them, and then once those decisions start being made, things tend to settle down after that.
Anything you'd like to add today?
No, other than we have a broken government, Larry, and it needs to be fixed. Otherwise, it's going to continue to do harm to the U.S. and global economy when we need growth and good job creation more than ever. And this idea that shutting down the government or defaulting on our financial obligations is a way to extract concessions is outside what the founders ever envisioned when they drafted this Constitution. There's a legislative process that hopefully people will be more respectful of in the future rather than holding the country hostage for their list of demands.
Third District Congressman Ron Kind joining us today.